Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Here we go with the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and sadly, Dan could not make it today. Believe it or not, he's actually getting a college ID, or else he will not be able to, he will not be allowed to get into the school when his class starts. So filling in for him today is Schomburg Stu.
I'm here, ready to go.
We need an applause icon or something so I can play it after I introduce.
What kind of college course is he taking? Sportscaster?
No, he's actually already done with that. He has his degree from, I forgot the name of the school there, but he had moved on to accounting, but he's got to get his master's to get a job, so he may be pursuing that. I don't know. He has a whole bunch of different irons in the fire, but I'm never quite sure. I did tell him if he needed help with accounting, he should just talk to you, but I don't know if he ever did.
He could always call me, but I only have a BSBA, Bachelor of Science of Business Administration, with an accounting major, so he probably knows more than I do.
All right, well, let's throw the plugs out here. You want to call in and talk to Stu and I, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, get on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs will go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays. I'm still looking for something else to fill the other days, but keep going over there, check out, see what's going on. And, of course, while you're there, hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we greatly appreciate that. Don't forget there's also the Twitter feed, which is, of course, you know it by now, at Sports Time Radio. I am on Twitter at Burke Time, but sadly we still haven't gotten Stu on there yet. We're going to work that out. I just haven't quite figured out how yet. So
one of these days I'm gonna try Twitter.
Yes. All right. Well, we've got four games in the books already in the majors and three up and running. It looks like we're going to have another one done here pretty quickly. The finals today, the Reds beat the Pirates 4-2. The Nationals beat the Diamondbacks 4-2. The A's beat the Twins 8-5, and the White Sox beat the Royals 8-3. What we have going on right now, the Rockies are ahead of the Padres 2-1 in the top of the eighth. The Rangers are ahead of the Astros 10-4. That's in the bottom of the ninth. And then, Stu, of course, we have the Cubs are tied with the Phillies. Well, maybe it's not tied anymore, but according to my computer, it's tied 4-4 in the top of the 11th.
It's still tied.
Okay, so.
But I'm impressed with the White Sox so far, aren't you? I'm really surprised.
You know, I don't know.
Surprised with them.
Yeah, I think surprised is more the proper word. I don't know if I'm impressed is what I am. But, yeah, they're doing a really nice job for the parts they have. I mean, you know, right now, Derek Holland has looked like a fantastic signing. I don't think he's had a bad outing for them. He had another one today.
Yeah, he's very solid today. And, of course, they didn't beat a very good team, but so what? A win is a win.
Yeah, is this the Avisail Garcia we're waiting for? Or is he going to, hit that bump in the road and that's going to be it? There's just so many questions that plug in as you go along with this team. So,
well, I'm glad you mentioned his first name, by the way, because they have a few Garcias, to, right?
Yeah, they played the three Garcia outfield last night again. I don't know if they did that today. I didn't see their box score. But, yeah, I didn't check my facts, but I believe the only other time that's happened is when all three of the Alus played in the outfield together in a game. That three people with the same last name actually played.
Did they do that? I wonder if they lose it.
Yeah, I believe they did it one time. I don't remember which team it was because a couple of them were quite well traveled. But I believe, yeah, they managed to do it one time somewhere. So
yeah, but
you'll have to look it up. It, you know, they were actually baseball players that were three brothers.
Maybe we should give some credit to Renteria, by the way. He seems to be doing the job for them so far.
Yeah, he, you know, he's always, you know, the thing with him was they said he's always been good with younger players. And, you know, that's what they wanted with this team. You know, I mean, it's still a little disappointing that Todd Frazier is hanging around, but, you know, he hit in a buck 88.
Right.
So, you know, it's going to be difficult.
Yeah. And I'm sure with they have a lot of course, Latin, Spanish-speaking people on their ball club. And, of course, Renteria is bilingual. I'm sure that helps.
Yeah. They said that was part of the reason he actually learned was, you know, for situations like this. So hopefully it,
yeah,
you know.
Oh, by the way, the Cubs got out of the 11th inning. No runs scored.
Oh.
I could say that, right, without going into any description. I know that you always mentioned something about the fact we can't really discuss too much about what's going on in the game.
We just can't do play-by-play, otherwise we're
right,
okay.
Right,
but, you know.
Yeah, it's going into the bottom of the 11th, still tied at 4.
So, yeah, looking what I was saying here, it appears that the Alou brothers actually all played the outfield together one time. Let me find out here. I want to say it was September 22nd. What year do they have this as? With the Giants in 1963. They did make some other appearances that were close. You know, there were a couple games where like two brothers played and the third one pinch hit. So they did make appearances as a total in, I believe, 7 games where all three brothers played. But it appears here by the writing that they only played the outfield together one time.
One time. Of course, the Garcia brothers, the Garcias aren't brothers, the ones for the White Sox, correct?
No. Yeah, no, I don't believe they're related at all. The article here actually has it. It says that they played in the outfield together the Alous played together on 3 occasions, but according to the writing here, it doesn't have it like that. So maybe it was 3. It's just gonna, you know, so somewhere between 1 and 3 times the Alous did it. But yeah, the White Sox were the first team since to play an outfield with all the same last name. And, you know, like you mentioned, these guys aren't related. They're not brothers. So
they're brothers from another mother, to use the old wrestling cliche.
So we'll have to see. But yeah, another good win for the White Sox. You know, I mean, you got to beat the bad teams. They've had a couple scuffles with Kansas City, so it was good for them to to get a win. And Jose Abreu did homer.
They split the series with Kansas City, but Kansas City has only won a third of their games this year, which is not very impressive. They've won 9 out of 27.
Yeah, they're off to a rough start. I know Dan and I were talking about it the other day. It just kind of appears that the window there is closed. And it didn't last very long, but you know, it's just so tough when you can't sign that pitching. You know, like they went out and made the big trade for Johnny Cueto. They gave up some young talent and then they couldn't keep him. You know, so they win the World Series with him and he ends up getting the big deal with San Francisco.
Yeah.
They tried to fill it with guys like Jason Vargas, who's actually pitching pretty well this year, and Ian Kennedy, who's not doing bad, but you know, they lost Yordano Ventura to that horrible car accident in the Dominican Republic where he ended up getting killed.
Right.
They brought Jason Hamill in, you know, and it's just, it's not the same. You know, Cueto was an ace, and they don't quite have that now. So, yeah. I don't know how you find it or fill it if you can't pay for it.
Right. It's very difficult for a small market club like Kansas City to compete against some of the teams that have the deeper pockets.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, now they're to the point where I believe this is Lorenzo Cain and Mike Moustakas' last year before free agency, and Eric Hosmer is 2 years away. They're probably only going to be able to keep one of those three guys. There's no way they're just going to be able to sign anybody else. You know, they signed Alex Gordon long term. He took less money. I think he took $60 million, where other teams were offering him, you know, he could have got 80 or 90 if he would have left. I want to say it was $60 million over, it was either 4 or 5 years. They can probably add another contract like that, and my guess is they're going to keep Hosmer, which means I won't be surprised to see Kane dealt or Mike Moustakas move this year sometime.
Yeah, that they are going to be on the downside for a while, I'm afraid, in the Kansas City team.
Yeah, you know, we're trying to figure out how long it would kind of take them to, you know, reload. You know, because obviously you can get quality pop prospects for guys like Kane and Moustakas. I'm really surprised with the Nationals' injury to Adam Eaton. They hadn't came calling for Lorenzo Cain already. You know, that's the perfect replacement fit there. The Nationals wouldn't even have to re-sign him. They could just let him play out his free agency if they didn't want to keep him around.
Yeah,
So, you know, you wonder if there's a deal there.
that's possible, but it's too bad about Eaton because he was off to a terrific start with Washington, who has the best record in the National League. I'm not sure if he has the best record in the majors, but they are playing very well.
Yeah, he was playing well, you know, and I know, you know, Bryce Harper has a groin injury. So, you know, things are just kind of starting to pile up a little there. And yeah, they actually do have the best record in baseball. They're 19-9. The Yankees are 17-9.
The team that's
So,
really been decimated with injuries have been the New York Mets. Just an incredible amount of injuries.
yeah, you know, and the weird part with the Mets is, you know, that pitching staff has always seemed to be hurt. You know, and I mean they talked about it for years, and I mean in reality, that's what got them to that World Series 3 years ago was there were enough of them healthy to get them there. But, you know, since then, Harvey's been down. You know, he missed almost all of last year. He doesn't really look the same yet this year. Zach Wheeler missed 2 years with Tommy John. You know, Steven Matz has had arm issues here and there. I believe he's on the DL right now. Syndergaard just had the lat issue. You know, who knows how long he's going to be out. I know he's getting a second opinion. You know, so they're really left with Jacob deGrom. You know, out of what was just to be a, you know, a stellar staff for, you know, 7, 8, 10 years, they just can't keep him healthy.
No, they can't, and I can't see any team in the East competing with Washington this season.
Yeah, you know, as long as, you know, the Mets were the only team with the chance, and just by not being able to keep those guys healthy, you know what I mean? We didn't add, you know, guys like Cespedes are out, and Lucas Duda is hurt again, and you know, it's looking like David Wright isn't going to play again this year. So, you know, you just kind of start adding that on. You know, they needed a healthy pitching staff to compete with Washington, and once that fell apart, it was over for anybody else. They, you know,
No doubt about it.
you know, the,
No doubt about it.
you know, the Phillies look like they're improved. You know, the Braves are still a few years away from being contenders. And, you know, the Marlins, I just haven't really figured the Marlins out yet. I didn't really like their pitching staff, but they've got a really good offense. But you know, again, I don't know how many teams you can outslug. So, you
Yeah,
know, we'll see, but
I can't see them being any more than middle of the pack in the East.
you know, it's weird. It kind of looks like Washington and then a bunch of 500 teams, you
Yeah,
know, or a bunch of
exactly
teams that are
right.
going to be around 500.
Exactly right.
You know, I mean, like right now, Washington is the only team in the division over 500. You know, the Phillies are 2 under, the Marlins are 2 under, the Mets are 3 under, and the Braves are 4 under. So they're already kind of stretching out that division lead. I mean, if it's not careful by the All-Star break, this division is going to be over.
And I think that's what's going to happen. I can't see any team coming close to Washington this season, who at this point in time at least appears to be the best team in the National League, if not the majors. Of course, they have those injuries now coming up, cropping up too.
Yeah, you know, obviously the Harper, you know, I think they can get around the Eaton injury. The Harper injury is going to be a deal. You know, they're calling it left groin tightness. So, you know, we'll see how, if or how he, you know, plays over the weekend. Oddly enough, they're going to Philadelphia to play the Phillies. They got a weekend series there.
Yeah. But that's a very tough injury because you don't know how long that could linger. That's something that could last a long, long time.
Yeah, you know, yeah, just depending on how serious it is to start with. You know, and then, of course, if you're not careful, you know, it can obviously continue to get worse.
Exactly.
So, but yeah, I know, like, you know, the Nationals bullpen has taken some hits. They, you know, they kind of struggled to find a closer at first. They already switched guys. And then one of the guys they were considering, you know, Cota Glover went down on the DL. And then one of their better setup guys, that Sammy Solis, went down. So they ended up losing two pitchers, like, within the span of the week.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, it seems to be the year of the pitcher injury, you know, at least early on. You know, like I saw today where Stephen Wright of the Orioles, or not the Orioles, the Red Sox is done for the year. They were saying, I believe it was torn ligament. You know, and the weird part is he's a knuckleballer. You wonder how the heck a knuckleballer does that.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. And they, as you pointed out, it looks like he's done. He's done for this year.
Oh, okay. Well, here, maybe this is how. It's his left knee that he injured. I thought I read his shoulder earlier. Yeah, he needs left knee surgery, and he's done for the year. So.
Yeah, it's too bad that there's so many injuries now. I can't figure out with better nutrition, better training programs. There's a lot. Seems to be more injuries now than there was when I started watching baseball in the 40s and the 50s. And the pitchers seem to be a lot more durable then. We've talked about this before, and I can't figure out the reason why.
Yeah, you know, we've been going over and over for I don't even know how long. And I just, you know, who knows what the reason is. You know, the White Sox put a reliever on the DL. You know, Nate Jones went on the DL for them today. You know, and he's had I think he missed like a season and a half with Tommy John. So,
did they mention what the injury was?
They didn't say, it was retroactive to May 1st. So it was something that happened a few days ago. Let me see if I pull up the White Sox team page, maybe they'll give me a little more notice. But the sad part is I think I have him on one of my fantasy teams too. I'm going to have to go in and juggle my my rotation, my bullpen, I should say, and hope I have a spot on the DL. They're saying he has a right elbow inflammation.
So is he on the 10-day DL at the moment?
Yeah, that thing. Yeah, everybody goes on the 10-day DL. So he's been added to that.
Yeah. What was the reason they changed that? It was 15 last year, right? And it has been for quite a while, and they now changed that to 10. Do you know the reasoning why that?
I believe it was for a little bit of easier flexibility for the team. It's not so bad. You know, like if you look at it, you know, the Sox put Nate Jones on it. They retroactive into May 1st. He's really only going to be out now 6 days, you know, because or actually 7 days, because it would be May 11th. So, you know, to get by with a guy for out a week for with a week isn't too bad. When you got to juggle it for that second week, it can be a little bit more of a headache.
Yeah.
So I think it was really just for flexibility's sake, you know, and allow teams to use the DL a little more. And this way they're not carrying injured guys and, you know, just kind of stuff like that is, you know, what I was kind of kind of going with, but I never really actually did hear an explanation.
Right. But a lot of interesting things going on in baseball. I did want to ask you, if we have time, I wanted to ask you your opinion. You think Chris Sales is going to be suspended?
Oh, you know, I think I'm going to say no, even though I think he deserves it, which is too bad because I really like him as a player. I think actually if he would have hit him, he probably would have been suspended. But the fact that he missed, I don't see a suspension, but probably a big fine.
Yeah,
so.
Most likely. And I was surprised he wasn't tossed immediately out of the game, but they just warned both benches. And the funny thing about it, with this thing started, of course, with that slide in the second base, and it did not look like an intentional slide to injure the second baseman. And yeah, so it mystifies me. Well, has escalated since then.
Well, you know, the worst part about it is, I mean, there was just an incredible case of stupid umpiring in that game last night. You know, Kevin Gausman ended up hitting, I don't remember which, I think it was Xander Bogaerts of the Red Sox, with a 77-mile-an-hour curveball. But since, you know, baseball had called both teams before the games and both teams were warned, the ump actually overreacted and ejected him in, like, the second inning. And it was just one of the dumbest ejections I've seen because there was no intent there whatsoever. You know, if you see the pitch come out of his hand and it's just off target and it's 77 miles an hour, you don't throw a curveball at a guy. You know, if you're going after a guy, the guy's getting a fastball in the rear end. So
yeah,
it was, I mean, just
an
umpire who couldn't handle the situation and choked.
Right, that did seem like an overreaction because, as you pointed out, and I read that today, the 77-mile curveball leading to an ejection, which is mind-boggling when you think about it.
Yeah, you know, and I saw the highlight this morning, and it was nowhere close to, you know, anybody throwing at anybody. I mean, and that was the weird thing is, you know, he dinks this guy with a 77-mile-an-hour curveball. Sale whizzes one behind the guy at 90, you know, or 90-plus, and he gets to stay in the game.
Yeah, yeah, that go figure on that one. And that ball was behind the player,
yeah.
Too.
So, you know, again, it was just, you know, an umpire who really, they're just too big a situation for the umpire. He couldn't handle it, and he choked the call, and, you know, just, and the funny thing is, Dan and I talked about this yesterday, if we get an ump that would overreact to the situation there, and sure enough, we did, so.
Yeah, it's funny, though, that the player who was injured is trying to de-escalate the situation, but doesn't seem to be doing
any
good.
Yeah, it's odd how, you know, well, the weird thing was, is, you know, they didn't go after, you know, Manny Machado was the guy who did the slide into Dustin Pedroia.
Right.
They didn't go after Machado the second day, and oddly, it was Stephen Wright pitching the knuckleballer. So, you know, of course, you know, that's not going to hurt anybody. You're not going to really be able to send a message if you hit a guy with a knuckleball. So they waited the day, and then that idiot reliever threw behind his head Matt Barnes and hit the bat. So in reality, it worked out well because it was a strike, but that was stupid. You don't ever go headhunting. You know, and then I know Mookie Betts got hit by Dylan Bundy on a running fastball inside. And I think a lot of it would cause that is the media really blew that up, that Bundy was throwing at him. But I'm not so sold on that because it looked like he was just trying to get the ball in on him. And he was just off his spot a little bit. And even though he hit him in like the hip area. So it's not like he was headhunting or anything, even if he was throwing in on him.
No,
I just get so tired of these players overreacting when pitchers come inside. They've got to be allowed to pitch inside.
They have to be allowed to pitch inside. And I think a lot of players are okay with that. I mean, look at Rizzo. He crowds the plate and he gets hit a lot. He never seems to get upset about it. But headhunting is something else. And that could be life-threatening. That could ruin a player's career.
Yeah.
So that's something that calls for immediate ejection and fines, suspensions, because there's just no room for that in baseball.
Yeah, you know, especially now with these guys coming out of the bullpen one after another throwing 100-plus. You know, that's the last thing you need is, you know, to take one in the ear hole from one of these guys. And I just don't, you know, I mean, most guys go up there wearing, you know, they're wearing elbow guards and shin guards, and they literally look, you know, I mean, there were guys who were going up there for a time looking like they were better, should have been playing in the NFL, not baseball.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's tough when, you know, you stand on the plate like that. I mean, the first inclination is, yeah, I'm going to tie you up. I'm going to come inside under your hands. And if you, oh, well, if you get hit, you get hit. So.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot different than it was before with guys like, well, we talked about Drysdale pitching and Bob Gibson and
yeah.
and those guys. completely different game now.
Yeah, you know, I think guys like that would have been warned after the first hitter. You know, with the
yeah.
way they overreact that thing now, jeez.
And Nolan Ryan, don't forget him, of course, and among
yeah.
many others we can think about right now. But they must look askance now, these guys, at the PC type of baseball we see nowadays.
Yeah, you know, they just kind of, you know, offense sells. So, you know, guys want the ball out and away so they can, you know, obviously hit it hard. And, you know, I understand that, you know, even baseball has kind of come around to the idea that you need offense to get fans in the seats. I mean, I'm not of that belief. I mean, I like a very well-pitched game probably more than, you know, I like a slugfest. I know the Nationals scored 23 runs on Sunday, and I couldn't have cared less.
Right.
But, you know, if you get a 1-0 game where both pitchers are rolling, I mean, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it can be a very exciting game. Every pitch is meaningful, and I've seen some of those, and they are very, very tense and exciting.
Yeah.
The only
so,
funny with
you know,
all
yeah,
that,
it,
yeah, I was going to say, with all the rules now about the offense, the giving the batters the ability to have more offense in the game, there's still a ton of strikeouts, more than ever before.
Well, that's because they, you know, nobody cares about strikeouts anymore. You know, before it used to be a huge deal. You know, you wanted to put the ball in play, and, you know, guys would choke up, and they would try to hit the ball to right field. Now, you know, you get two strikes on you, and nobody cares. They're still swinging for the fence.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they're up there
the great,
taking, you know, their biggest rips.
They are, and I told you this before, I believe I have, but the one of the greatest hitters in the game, Ted Williams, always conceded something to the pitcher when he had two strikes on him, choked up at the bat. And if he could do it,
yeah.
a hitter with that resume, that credentials, why can't the current players do that too?
You know, it's because they're not taught to. You know, sabermetrically, and that's one of the things that drives me nuts about it, it's wrong for guys to try to do what Ted Williams did. Yeah, imagine saying that to somebody.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
wrong what Ted Williams did. You know, or some of the other, you know, you can go down the list of great hitters who used to do that. But, you know, now that's wrong. They want everybody looking for the home run. It's kind of like why you don't see the bunt as much anymore, or trying to hit
no,
behind the runner.
No, and that's an exciting play too. I've always thought hitting behind the runner, the hit and run was always an exciting play to watch. The runner going from first to third. But you don't see that much anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know, like, well, here's a little example for you. This week I got a call from Mr. Fantasy, and as you know, him and I share a Money League team. And the guy who had Joey Gallo from the Texas Rangers was looking to deal him because he needed a closer. He was looking to trade Joey Gallo for a closer. So I wasn't really that interested, but Mr. Fantasy was all excited, so I looked up Joey Gallo's stats. He's played 29 games for the Rangers this year. He's filling in at third base while Adrian Beltre's hurt. He has 8 home runs and 18 RBIs, so he's off to a really good start. But then you dig into his stats a little deeper. He's hitting .196, and he struck out 40 times in 29 games.
Yeah, which is unbelievable, huh?
Yeah.
It's over a strikeout a game. I mean, this is too much.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's literally striking out about once every 4.5 at-bats. And the sad part is he doesn't even have the most strikeouts in baseball. Trevor Story of the Rockies actually has 42, and he's on our Money League team, which is frightening. But he has 6 home runs, so nobody cares, even though he's hitting .160.
Exactly. Exactly right.
You know,
it's strange how the game has played out now. But the Story was off to such a great start a year or so ago, and he seems to have tapered off. I think once these guys go around the league a few times, their hot start tapers off quite a bit. Even the season or so, there's changes.
Well, he had the bad injury, and, you know, he ended up missing about half the season last year.
He did.
And, I was hoping he'd bounce back. But, yeah, he hasn't quite got off to the same start. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, the latest phenom is the guy for the Yankees.
Yeah,
who was off to an unbelievable start, but
you'll get a good paper today.
Yeah, let's see what happens a couple times around.
Well, you'll get a good look at him this weekend. You know, the Cubs
got that
big series.
That's right. And Chapman will get his ring tomorrow or Saturday or whenever it is. And it'll be interesting if it's a close game and the Yankees have a 1-run lead against the Cubs in the 9th inning and Chapman comes in. I wonder what the fans' reaction is going to be on that one.
But, I give that outfielder from the Yankees some credit, you know, that Aaron Judge. You know, they brought him up last year, and, man, you know, he just – dunk. I mean, he looked overmatched. He was literally striking out once out of every 2 at bats. See, I give him a lot of credit for being able to cut it down. He's still, you know, like to me, he's got 27 strikeouts in 25 games. So to me, that sounds like a lot. But when you start looking at the other players, it kind of fits right in line what everybody else is doing. But, you know, he is hitting .330. He's got those 13 home runs. He's got the most in baseball. You know, he's got 27 RBIs, and oddly, the guy can play defense. He made a really nice diving catch the other night, and, you know, I've seen him make a couple throws from the outfield. He's got a big, strong arm, and, you know, he's a big dude. He's like 6'8", so it'll be interesting to see him this weekend.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see him in action. And I'll give you an update. It's going into the 13th inning now.
Oh, boy. So...
Well, the Cubs hit the bases loaded with one out and couldn't score.
Well, the Phillies did it, so the Cubs might as well do it, right?
That's right. And, the fans are still hanging around, at least some of them, but it's got to be awfully chilly at the ballpark.
Yeah, I heard your buddies Lennon, JD, commenting about that it had cooled off. So, you know, we'll have to – you know, I thought it was better than it was yesterday, but who knows?
Right, and I try not to listen to those guys too often. When they start talking about irrelevant things, I always mute the sound.
Yeah, it gets a little difficult to listen to them after a while. They can drive me nuts. I got to give them credit, though. They are better. The Yankee guy, that Michael K, just kills me. So they are better than him. I will give them that, you know, credit for that.
Yeah, I haven't had an opportunity to hear him, so what kind of a broadcasting style does he have?
You know, I don't even know if it's his style that irritates me or if it's just his, inflection that he uses when he's calling the game. You know, obviously he's a homer like everybody else, and, it just irritates me because it's a Yankee homer and I'm not a huge Yankee fan. But, he just makes me nuts at times.
Is there anybody who's a bigger homer than Hawk Harrelson?
No, but, you know, at least Hawk is funny. You know, and I mean, he used to play, so he's got stories. You know, a lot of these guys, you know, they never saw the field. But to be fair, Michael Kay doesn't annoy me as much as Joe Buck. You know, Joe Buck still kills me. I don't care what he does. I can't do it. So,
and he gets all those national games to cover also on Fox.
Yeah, I just can't get away from the guy. And not only does he get the football games, he gets the baseball games. So, just want to You know, luckily I got lucky Saturday. I thought I was going to have to listen to him the Cubs game, and it turned out they were on, you know, Channel 7 here locally. So I got
that
out of that
work.
One. But, yeah, I was frightened there for a little bit.
But didn't Joe Buck get some criticism from the St. Louis Cardinal fans when he was excited when the Cubs won the World Series?
Yeah, he's been taking quite a bit of heat lately, both from, you know, the baseball fans and the football fans. So I don't know. You know, there was on Twitter there was a tagline, "Fire Joe Buck," for the longest time, and he actually did a nice job of diffusing it by jumping in and participating. But yeah, they were kind of rallying against him there.
Yeah, well, he's had a pretty long career.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, you know, obviously, you know, I liked his father as an announcer much better. You know, and again, maybe that's the problem.
Sure.
I don't know. So.
Yeah, I was trying to think back about the Cub announcers that I liked, and I think the Jack Quinlan always comes to mind. And you probably didn't hear him, but he was a terrific baseball announcer. A terrific baseball announcer. One of the best.
Yeah, they had Jack Brickhouse when I started watching, and I really liked him. I had no problems with him at all. I thought he was really good.
Brickhouse covered all sports. The worst sport he covered, though, was basketball. I mean, he was absolutely brutal in basketball. He was okay with baseball, knew a lot about baseball, okay with football. But when he covered the Bulls, it was pretty much an embarrassment. I don't think he knew too much about the game. Did I tell you the story? The one time I was watching the Bulls, and he was calling the game, and he was talking about irrelevant things, and I think it was Bobby Weiss stole the ball from the opponent and came in for a layup and scored the basket. And then when he saw the score, he said, "Oh, my mistake. It's not, the Bulls aren't winning by two, they're winning by four." But he didn't have a clue how that happened. He was not
a
good basketball
announcer. Yeah, you wonder if that's a way for the network to save money by having him do all those things.
It could be. It could be. Of course, he wasn't a bad wrestler.
Because now I'm thinking there's very few multi-sport guys now. Besides Joe Buck, I'm trying to think off the top of my head if there's anybody else. And I don't really know any. I'm trying to think if, ESPN has somebody who maybe does multiple sports, but I don't believe they do either.
No, that's something that you don't see anymore. I think especially for their home teams. I mean, you're going to have separate announcers for hockey, basketball, football, and baseball.
I guess you could count Bob Costas, because he does still do baseball games and he does pregame football. I don't know if he does actually game calls, but I know he's been doing pregame NFL. So he kind of fits that, I think.
I don't think Vince Scully never covered anything except baseball, as far as I know, and he was a wonderful announcer. Who, of course, just finally retired after so many years.
Yeah, it's weird turning the Dodger games on and not hearing him call them this year.
He was a great announcer. Great announcer.
But yeah, I don't remember, because I know didn't Harry Carey do other sports as well?
I'm trying to think if he did anything besides baseball and maybe in St. Louis. You know, he was in St. Louis for a long time, so I'm not sure if he did any other sports and other than the St. Louis Cardinals. Of course, he was with the St. Louis Cardinals a lot longer than he was with the Cubs. Much longer.
Yeah, I thought for some reason he did basketball as well.
He might have, or was that Skip? Was that his son? I think did. When St. Louis had a basketball team, I think Harry's son did the calling in the basketball when they had the St. Louis. Was it St. Louis Hawks? I'm trying to remember. Which they had a basketball team for quite a while.
Well, they actually have Carey. It says Carey announced hockey games for the St. Louis Flyers.
Oh, they must have been a minor league team, huh? They must have been what, AHL team, or because obviously they were never.
Yeah,
it was always the St. Louis Blues in the NHL, as far as I know.
Yeah, it doesn't say if they were what league they were in. They haven't been doing St. Louis Brown games in 45 and 46. I believe they were the secondary baseball team.
And I think,
but yeah, other than that, it looks like it was just.
Yeah, I think the Browns.
Yeah, here they have been
Baltimore.
He did. Here's what they got him doing. He did Missouri Tiger football, so he did NCAA football. He also did St. Louis Billikens basketball, along with Boston Celtics and the St. Louis Hawks in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. So, yeah, he got out there.
He did some basketball. Yeah, he did.
They also called 8 Cotton Bowl games from 1958 all the way to 64 and then again in 66. So
he had quite a career.
Yeah.
The last few years when he covered the Cubs were not very kind to him, though. I mean, he was a shell of what he was. I don't think he ever recovered from that stroke he had. He just was not the same announcer.
No, he was still able to kind of put on the show. That's kind of what people did. So
yeah, larger than life personality.
Yeah. So yeah, you know, and I mean, when the teams were bad, I mean, you know, people were going there to see Harry.
Yeah. Of course, after he did the Oakland for one season, he moved over to the White Sox for a while. And it was pretty entertaining when he had Jimmy Pearsall with him as the color analyst.
Yeah. they did not get along at times. So.
And they were pretty pretty outspoken. They would say things that upset the management. And I remember that Bill Veeck got mad at them one time. Don't you say how cold it is at the ballpark. This is probably in April. And Veeck got very mad when Harry must have said something like, it's freezing at the ballpark. Don't ever say that again. They were a good couple.
Yeah, they definitely, told it how it was, which, of course, you don't get now. I mean, remember how much trouble Steve Stone got in with the Cubs when he told the truth about a misplay. So.
And Kerry was challenged by some of the players too at times, and he stood up for himself. He did not back down from any player who came in his face and said something. They didn't like the criticism that he gave the player, but he was being objective about it, and you got to admire him for that.
Yeah, you know, I would rather have an announcer tell me he thought a player made a mistake than kiss their butt and try to cover it up like they do now.
Yeah.
Because obviously, I know enough about the game to where I know it was wrong and he shouldn't have done it, but don't try to, blow smoke up my butt like, oh, yeah, well, you know, he was trying to do it. No, he wasn't.
Right. Oh, a bulletin. Final score: Cubs 5, Philadelphia 4.
I hear him going nuts in the other room. How did they score?
On a botched double play attempt.
Of all the things,
they threw the ball away. They threw the ball away at first base. Got away from the first baseman, and the runner from third scored. Boom. Was I supposed to say that? Well, anyway, I did.
Yeah. Okay, you can do that, yes. As long as we're not doing, play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch,
right,
we're okay.
Right,
so
yeah.
That's the thing.
It was there was really no chance for a double play, and he should have just held the ball, but he did it, and the Cubs have won their third in a row. And I think we talked about this via email. Isn't this the first time this year they've won three in a row?
Yeah, I believe so.
And
So.
I have to say one more thing now. And you ready for this? Okay, here we
Sure.
go. They don't ask you how you won. They ask you, did you win?
Yes.
Sorry, I had to toss it in there, John.
Yeah, and what else did they sweep the Phillies?
No, they lost the first game. Remember, they got
No,
murdered on Monday night. What was it, 10-2?
yeah.
Wasn't that the game with that 2-hour rain delay? And then
Oh
when they
yeah.
played the first inning, and when they played the first inning, it was raining harder during the game in the first inning than it was during the rain delay.
Yeah, that's when Brett Anderson went out and was just horrible.
Yeah.
So
And who pitches tomorrow? Does Anderson pitch
Kyle
tomorrow?
Hendricks. No, Kyle Hendricks.
Oh, Kyle Hendricks. Okay, well, he had a chance then because he's looked a lot better in his last two starts than he has prior to that. He looks getting close to being what he was last year.
So here is I'm looking at the schedule. The Cubs had a 3-game winning streak April 8th to April 10th, and then they had a
Ah.
4-gamer April 18th to April 22nd. So they have
Boy,
had
I can't.
one more game longer.
Yeah, I can't remember that happening, but stats are stats, so I have to go along with you. But
Yeah, it
they are
was
now four games.
two against Milwaukee and
Yeah.
two against Cincinnati.
Okay. Well, they are now what, 16-12, which
Yeah, and yeah, tomorrow it's Kyle Hendricks against Michael Pineda.
what do you know about the Pineda? Because I know nothing about
Well,
him.
he's pitched pretty well to start off the year for the Yankees. His record is 3-1. I know he had a big time strikeout game, but the big plus for the Cubs is the games are in Wrigley. The Yankees are just 5-6 on the road. They've been killing it at home. So,
Yeah, the game tomorrow is in the afternoon, but then I believe the next two games are both on national TV.
yeah, oh yeah, you know they're going to be nationally televised. There's no way the networks are going to miss out on this. So, I'm sure it's
And it,
the Mickey Mouse Network Sunday night game of the week.
yeah, for sure. I know that's your favorite. That's your favorite network with your favorite announcers.
So yeah, some of them aren't too bad. I can deal. Oddly, the one who ends up being the best is the female Jessica Mendoza. She does a really nice job.
He's good. She does
So
seem to do a good job. Yeah. Is Chapman perfect this year so far in save opportunities?
well, I'll tell you in a minute. We got Pineda here. He is 3-1 in 5 starts, over 28 1/3 innings. His ERA is 3.14. He has 37 strikeouts to just 4 walks.
Wow,
So he's rolling.
That to me is an impressive
Yeah,
stat
Chap.
because you know how much I hate walks, and that's a
Yeah.
great stat for a pitcher.
Yeah,
And you're
that's
talking about Chapman? Chapman is perfect.
yeah, I gotta. Well, I gotta switch sites here because they don't have his save opportunities. He has 6 saves, but I don't know how many opportunities he's had to make saves. And he also has a win, so I don't know if he did that thing where he blew a save and then picked up the win as the
Yeah,
next
it's
inning or
possible,
whatever. So
yeah.
I will give me 1 second here as my internet catches up, and I will be able to tell you what how he managed that. But yet, I haven't seen him pitch at all this year. I guess I must get the Yankee games where he doesn't get save opportunities or something.
Well, we'll see what happens over the weekend. It should be, I'm sure, weather what if the weather is decent, you're going to see SRO crowds for all three games. But I'm not sure how good the weather is supposed to be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it's supposed to be tomorrow. I think it's supposed to be, it's a little better than what we've got going on today.
Yeah, we
So,
haven't
a
had a very
lot.
nice May so far, have we?
No. Yeah, he is 6 out of 6. So, and he's got an ERA of 0.087 in his 11 appearances. He's 1-0. So he struck out 16 batters over those 10 innings, and he's walked 4.
Yeah, I do like Davis, by the way, for the Cubs so far.
Yeah,
Occasional
he's
walk, but
really
that's about
solid.
it.
Yeah,
what are the
he, you
odds?
know, he's going to be solid.
Do you think the Cubs have a chance to sign him to a multi-year contract after the season, or is he going to go into free agency?
You know, it may be the thing where he may want to test the waters to kind of see what's out there, because he's never been a free agent as a reliever, you know, because he was basically a bottom-of-the-rotation starter to begin his career, and then he kind of hit big as a setup guy in Kansas City. So, you know, he may just go out there to see, but, you know, the weird thing is with these guys, you know, is if you want to win, there are very few places you can go. So I would think he's probably got a good chance to stay. You know, I'm more worried about what they're going to do with, you know, with the rotation. They're going to have to sign some starters.
They are, and I don't know, this might be Lackey's last season. I mean, he's certainly not been very impressive so far. Although occasionally he looks like he has some decent stuff, but then he throws the hanger, and he has not been super sharp so far this year, but so either as Arrieta or Lester.
Yeah, you know, it's so tough with Lackey because it seems like they're just getting five innings out of him. And, you know, sooner or later, it's just going to destroy your bullpen. You know, because you just can't continue to cover those kind of innings over and over. So, you know, maybe he'll stretch out as it goes on. You know, as the weather warms up, you know how to some guys play better.
Yeah, they need the warm weather, but I'm sure the Cubs are hoping that Hendricks has a outing tomorrow where he can go at least 6-7 innings, because the bullpen was decimated today. I mean, everybody seemed to get into the act. I mean, I'm trying to think of who didn't pitch. I don't know. Did Strober? Yes, did Strober pitch today, I think, didn't he? Yeah. Oh, Rondon. I don't think Rondon pitched today.
No.
So he'll be available tomorrow.
Just kind of thinking about it, you know, they're going to have to deal with, you know, Lackey's contract, I believe, is up. And then, you know, Arrieta is going to hit the free agent market. So they're going to have to figure out.
Yeah. I wonder if Arrieta would have second thoughts, because he has not been super sharp yet this year. Maybe he's going to wait until the season's over to see how he does throughout the course of the year. Maybe he's another guy that needs warm weather.
Yeah, maybe. You know, the tough part is they don't develop pitching. You know, we've never seen them really have a guy come through their system. I mean, you know, Kyle Hendricks got most of his training in the Rangers system before coming over to the Cubs and jumping up to the, you know, jumping up to the major league. So, yeah, it's
– I heard of a couple of guys in the system, but they're way – I heard a couple of guys who in the Cubs minor league system that have promise, but they're way – you know, they're not even in Iowa or Tennessee. Or they're lower than that. And so if those guys are promising, as some of the so-called experts say, and have a good future, you won't see them run next season.
Yeah, you know, and that's the tough part with that is, you know, they go out and they rank these guys. And, you know, you got to realize in some cases you're ranking an 18, 19-year-old, even 20-year-old kid who's going to change so much just by the time he gets to 23. So will he be the same guy? You know, will he improve? You know, I mean, we've seen so many of these so-called phenoms come through and, you know, very few of them pan out. I mean, you know, Steven Strasburg is supposed to take the league by, you know, storm. And while he's pitched well, he's not even the best starter on his team.
Not this season for sure, but it's also a question of durability too. I mean, there seems to be so many injuries, even in the minor league level. You see some guys going down with Tommy John surgery, and I just can't figure out why that happens. I'm sure they're watched very closely, their pitch counts, and the injuries happen anyway. And I'm trying to find out why. I'm putting my finger on it, but I can't do it. I mean, as we mentioned before, all the great nutrition now, the training regimen they have, the pitch count, and they're still going down.
Yeah, I haven't quite managed to figure it out or what they're what they're doing or how they're doing it. It's just odd that, yeah, it's guys are just hurt constantly now.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like if you don't have Tommy John, you're in the minority.
Yeah, it seems so prevalent now. It's really strange. And think back to the era started, you know, with the Newcombs and the Drysdales. We talked about the Gibsons and the Jenkins. Did those guys ever get injured? Did they ever miss any time? Maybe so, but I would say it's very, very infrequent.
Yeah, well, you know, could you imagine the uproar now if a starting pitcher got to 300 innings?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when guys get to 200 innings now, they freak out. I mean, you know, if a guy like Gibson or Drysdale or Fergie Jenkins didn't get to 300 innings, you know, they considered it a bad year.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I was thinking about something else. I need your opinion on this one, as we're running low on time. But you think the days of the no-hitters are going to be less now than ever before? I think they will be because of the pitch count. Wasn't there one that it took out a pitcher recently in the seventh inning? He had a no-hitter. And this seems to be
Mark,
the trend.
Yeah, Don Mattingly. Mattingly took the guy out.
Yeah. Yeah, so isn't that going to – maybe the pitcher throwing a no-hitter complete game is going to be a thing of the past based upon what they're doing
here,
now with the pitch counts.
I found this for you. The Cubs' third-ranked prospect is a right-handed pitcher by the name of Dylan – I'm going to guess it's Cease, C-E-A-S-E.
He's
20 years old. Right now he's pitching in South Bend, which is where Dan and I go to see the games. He's 0-1 with a 1.9 ERA and 5 starts. That's low class A. So he's probably minimum 3 to 4 years away from being a major league starting pitcher, unless they rush.
Right. Well, the record isn't good, but the ERA sounds impressive at least.
Yeah.
And
so
I think he's a fastball
pitcher,
right? Isn't he a fastball pitcher? Isn't that his forte, his strength, is in the fastball?
Yeah, they rank his fastball at 70 out of, I believe it's 100, the scale they use here. His curveball's a 60, his changeup's a 45. They only rank his control at 45. He has walked 15 guys in 23 innings, but, you know, that's something you learn as you come through the system.
Yeah, you have to learn that. And yeah, it doesn't sound like he's going to be ready for a while.
No, it doesn't. I'm looking at some of their top ranked guys, and it doesn't look like they have a pitcher ranked above double A.
Yeah.
So unless they're gonna, you know, and oddly, it's Trevor Clifton who Dan and I saw pitch for South Bend, or it might have been Kane County when we were there. So, but I know Dwayne Underwood a few years ago, he's down in double A Tennessee. So even, you know, he's a top prospect who's still a few years away.
Yeah. Well, I remember when C.J. Edwards caught our eye, both yours and mine, and we moved through the ranks of the, and we said, hey, this guy looks like a good, dominant starting pitcher. But I think the Cubs are very wise in what they did in changing him into a reliever because based on his frame, I think he's ideal for that. And so far, he did give up the home run today. But that's the first earned run he gave up all season.
Yeah, it was. All right, the music is time for John Burson and I to take off. So, as always, Stu, thanks for filling in for Dan. We appreciate that.
My pleasure.
So, Dan's going to be back tomorrow at 5:30, so you can join us. As always, get over to sportstimeradio.com, check out what's going on over there. Link yourself over to the Facebook page and give that a like. Don't forget the Twitter feed at Sportstime Radio. I'm also out there on Twitter as well if you want to hunt me down. Big thanks for listening live, and don't forget, you can hear this podcast with Stu and I anytime you want at TuneIn.com.